finally read Neil Gaiman's American Gods. I know, but you know, sometimes you just have to be in the right mental place to read certain books. Knowing that a cable network is developing a film project on it, as I read the book, I tried to imagine how it could be filmed. Of course, movies are rarely as good as a book is anyway, because you can't film a character's thoughts or the author's colorful descriptions, such as when Gaiman described a color as melting vanilla ice cream. Not just vanilla ice cream, but melting vanilla ice cream. Anyway, I naturally loved the book first and foremost because of the concept. Gaiman is a prime example of truly creative writing. In this case, incorporating ancient gods with new gods, credit cards, techno, and interspersing myths and legends who walk among us forgotten. On a side note, Gaiman introduces each chapter with a quotation, one of which was called from Greg Brown lyrics, which immediately brought back memories for me back when I owned a couple of Brown CDs. I pulled him up on YouTube and enjoyed listening to him again so much I added him to my Pandora stations. Back to the book. If you remain part of the population who still has not read the book, buy it or check it out from your local library. American Gods by Neil Gaiman. I saw this on Craigslist and thought it was so cool. Under one roof, you can participate in parkour / free running, tricking / tumbling, martial arts, acting, writing, yoga, fencing, sword fighting, archery, dance, hip-hop, Latin, belly break, and more, kids and adults. The place is called Infinite Potential Academy, and its summer camp programs are awesome. Here are a couple of examples. Zombie / Wilderness Survival Camp. Run and fight for 1 week as you prepare for a zombie apocalypse. You will learn how to outsmart, outrun, and outfight the zombies as you join together with your fellow survivors. By learning everything from first aid to combat, you will not only survive, but thrive. Your wilderness skills will include water and food finding and shelter making, so you will have the safety and time to work on your headshots. Will humanity survive? Will you? Or spy / ninja camp? Silently and swiftly moving across rooftops, hiding in the shadows, or disguised in plain sight. Wannabe ninjas and spies alike are welcome to our stealth, flexibility, and combat training. We will practice sword fighting, balance, martial arts, knife throwing, archery, decoding ciphers, and the art of fingerprint analysis. I mean, seriously, where were these when I was a kid? I had to talk with owner and instructor John Gronich.
What was your life, your past life, before you started into this venue?
My past life, it is as varied as my current life, I think. It's what helped get me into this. My past life was, I used to be a competitive gymnast. I was a competitive gymnast for 8 to 10 years when I was a kid. I have always been an adventurer. I've always climbed all over everything. I was doing parkour before I knew what parkour was. Before there was a name for it.
Stunt kid.
Yeah, stunt kid, that daredevil. My mom would just call me crazy. I've dabbled in martial arts. I've done rock climbing. I've done skydiving and bungee jumping and all kinds of different things. And I wanted to find or create a place that I wanted to go to when I was a kid that I would have loved. A place that had everything. That was an adventurer's Chuck E. Cheese.
Higher end. Charles Cheese, if
there,
you will.
There you go.
Tell me about the bungee, though. I can't even imagine somebody, the desire to do that. What is the appeal?
The appeal is the adrenaline rush, is part of it. It is one of my frustrations with people, with society, is that we get so complacent. We get so comfortable. And it's important, I think, for us to push ourselves out of those comfort zones. And in fact, the motto here is, life begins when you leave your comfort zone. Welcome to your life. Welcome to infinite potential. It's very much about challenging yourself. For example, I became a scuba dive instructor because I'm absolutely terrified of being in the ocean. And I figured, I do not like being terrified, so I am going to go into the ocean and make myself as skilled in the ocean as I can be. And every time I go in it, it still freaks me out. But I've gone all the way through a PADI certification course, all the different classes, all the different dives, all the different trainings so that I can become an instructor and I can help other people work their way through their obstacles as well.
I've heard a lot of performers, musicians, and actors who say they are still terrified every time they go on the stage or appear before a camera, even though they've been doing it for 20 or 30 years.
Absolutely. I'm a high school teacher as well, and every time I get in front of my class every day, it still freaks me out. It's just I flip a switch and just do what I have to do and then move on.
I haven't skydived, although that's on my list. I would like to do that, but I do not want to bungee jump. And I've tried to psychoanalyze myself. Like, well, what is the difference?
It's a huge difference.
I think because it's the visual.
It very much is. Skydiving, you don't feel like you're falling. Because of the way it was explained to me, the way our eyes adapt and adjust, there is such a great distance that our eyes don't perceive that distance. It's not like in the cartoons where you see the ground coming up quickly at you. It doesn't perceive that distance. But with bungee jumping, you very much see the ground coming right up at you.
Yeah.
And it is very quick, very over, very much more of the adrenaline rush, I think.
Now, what area did you skydive?
I skydived.
I know. I stumped for a minute there myself.
I did it up in Oregon. Was my first time. And I've done it a couple times down here locally.
Now, how about zipline? Have you done any crazy places for ziplining?
Costa Rica.
I did
ziplining in Costa Rica, and that was a lot of fun.
A friend of mine did that, and she said it came so close to the trees, it just...
That was fun. But it is so controlled, and you're so safety harnessed in, it didn't feel like very much. At least after you've done a lot of the stuff that I've done, ziplining was like, well, this is a nice ride. It's comfy.
Where are my crumpets to come
exactly,
with my tea?
Yes.
Now, what do you teach in high school?
I teach high school English.
English, okay.
9, 10, 11, and 12. Sometimes honors. And I teach all the English electives, like mythology and film as literature, when we used to have electives.
I'll have a moment of silence for electives. So mythology, so you've got a phenomenal background. Nobody, I think, with more creds could enter a business like this than you.
It's a very unique and very challenging thing, and definitely my background has proven enormously helpful with it. But again, it's because my interests are so varied that I've been able to do stuff like this. So I teach here at Infinite Potential. I teach parkour, and I teach gymnastics, and I teach archery, and I teach a little bit of fencing, and I teach martial arts, and I teach pretty much everything that we offer here.
I like that you also offer writing, because the pen can be mightier than the sword.
Agreed. And this is an academy of the body and mind. And, you know, I teach English, so writing has always been important. But we also do acting and film production. And it's important for people to be able to get their stories out, whether it is on paper or whether it is through their actions. I think it's really important for them to be able to find a venue to express themselves. It's one of the challenges that we face as teachers is, do we emphasize reading or do we emphasize writing? It's very much a chicken or egg argument for a lot of the teachers, and it's one of the big debates, is what's going to help them become the better writer and the better reader. And my argument is, I think they need to be able to read and know stories and tell stories and understand how stories work before they can put those out effectively.
I was fortunate enough to be raised by storytellers on both sides of the pike, so I became an avid reader at a very early age and have not stopped.
Absolutely.
So I can see where writing is an integral part of all these physical activities, because you are acting out stories, as you say, and you're putting your mind in a different place. Your perspective is constantly changing, because that is actually reflecting life.
Yes.
It does not stand still. So as they approach obstacles, challenges in their life, they can have unique ways of resolving it or overcoming them.
Absolutely. And this plays very much... all of the different things that we do really blends together, because parkour is all about finding ways over, around, and through obstacles. And writing is very much about creating ways over, around, and through obstacles, whether it's for yourself in your narrative or for your characters in their narrative. It's about creating the obstacles and finding ways to overcome those in new and different and exciting ways.
When I was a kid, I don't remember who told me this. I don't think it was a family member. But I remember an adult telling me, because I was scared. I don't remember what the event was or what I was afraid of. I just remember them looking at me, crossing their arms, and saying, "You've seen a skunk?" "Yeah." "Well, do you know what a skunk does when it sees a big grizzly bear up on its hind legs?" I'm like, "No." "It just walks around it. It doesn't care." I'm like, "Okay." So I went right through it and had no problem and kept going. Mm-hmm. And that image has stuck with me. And that's what writing and these activities that you're teaching are, displaying different ways, examples that people, kids and adults, mm-hmm. can go around, over, or underneath whatever is trying to block them.
Absolutely. This is a place of prepositions.
There you go. So which is your favorite? You have to have a favorite.
Oh, gosh. I honestly don't think I do have a favorite, because I use all of them together. So I'm trying always to incorporate martial arts into parkour, which incorporates the tumbling in my gymnastics background, which incorporates even some of when I do archery. I'm always trying to figure out, how can I do this with how can I make a cool roll with the bow in my hand? How can I do all of these things? So for me, it is very much about fluidity of movement and flow through life. How do all the different disparate elements come together and blend together to create something unique and different?
And the parkour is when you take a run and you leap and bounce off and flip over the wall. Is that correct?
That is an element of parkour. Parkour is moving from one place to another in the quickest, most efficient way possible using just your body. So whether it's over, around, or through, it's about getting from point A to point B in the fastest, most efficient way possible. The other stuff, like the tricking, the flips, and all of that other stuff, it adds extra flair and style. It's your own unique flavoring to your movement. But the parkour is just about the movement itself. And other people like to add style to their movement, which makes it all the more unique.
I went to the school, it was kindergarten through 8th grade, and so you share the same hallway with the mm-hmm. older kids. And I would have to cut through the big field to get to my house, where there was a self-standing wall. Mm-hmm. And I was told that that's what the older kids had to climb over, jump over, and part of their PE exercise. And that terrified me, because I knew I would have to be their age at one point. I would have to do that. And then when I got to that age, of course, and I learned that when you're running fast, you're building up momentum, and boom, boom, you're over and done.
Sure. And we learn to create our own momentum. We learn how to use the environment to aid us. So we might use one wall to help us get over another wall, you know, as you bounce off of one and over another. It very much is that fluidity of movement. It's that ninja warrior, you know, that becoming that ninja warrior where the whole world is your playground. And that really becomes the perspective. You start looking as you're walking even down the street. Oh, I could do this over that. I could move around this. And it becomes a lot more fun. It's not just a lamppost anymore. That's something I can swing off of.
You don't need a skateboard.
I definitely don't need a skateboard. That would slow me down.
Zac Efron, I saw a video of this. He bungeed for the first time and he did a flip. He didn't just jump off. He did a flip. I just couldn't wrap my head around that.
I have a video of me doing my bungee jump, and I did a beautiful swan dive with a full layout front flip and twist. And it wasn't necessarily because that's what I had planned on doing. It was just, there was a lot of room, so I had to add some style.
Now, as a rock climber, you aren't flipping and running, but you... That's
hopefully
rock
not.
Climbers. Well, intentionally.
Yes.
I do know from personal experience that sometimes that's how you get up these rocks when they're close together.
Sure.
That you're literally climbing off of each rock to get to the top.
Yes.
Instead of just trying to climb up one.
Absolutely.
And you learn balance is obviously a big issue. Now, you have adults here as well.
Yes.
Have any of them approached you about the balance issue?
Absolutely. We have people who are terrified of heights. Being up even on a 3-foot wall is absolutely frightening for them. And what we do is we just build everything up in progressive steps, and it's the same with the balance issues. It's, let's start off low to the ground. We have little balance beams that are floor balance beams that are only a couple inches off the ground, and let's stand on them. Now let's take a couple steps on them. Oh, this is a little bit easier. Okay, good. Now let's take that up a little bit and a little bit more, and we work people up through progressive steps. And it's never about losing your fears. It's about facing your fears and working through them and working with them. So, for example, like we talked about earlier, I'm terrified every time I go in front of my class and stand in front of my class. I'm terrified doing this interview. But we find a way to work with our fears and to work through our fears to make ourselves better people. That's how we grow.
Now, what's the youngest that you have here?
We've had as young as 2 and 3 climbing around on some of our stuff. We generally prefer at least 5. You know, we like them, first of all, to be out of diapers all the way.
For a lot of reasons.
Yeah. We also want them to be able to really listen, and, you know, safety's sake, they need to be able to pay attention, and they need to know that when we call their name, that means stop or listen or pay attention.
So what are the activities you offer for that young age?
Almost all of our activities. We have 5-year-olds that are shooting bows and arrows. We have 5-year-olds that are picking up swords. Obviously, all of it's supervised. We have 5-year-olds doing our dance program. We have 5-year-olds doing tumbling. We have 5-year-olds doing martial arts. So it is very open to pretty much everything.
How about telling stories?
We are really trying hard to build our writing program and our acting program and our film program here. And that is an obstacle. School does a very good job of conditioning writing out of people, I think. And we would love to see more writing going on. We would love to see more of that creative writing, that love of writing, that spark. Like you said, the telling of stories. And so we do that. We've actually just instituted a gamers guild here where people can sit down and do role play type games, which is about storytelling. You create a character and you tell stories about that character and how would that character act and think and behave. We do a lot of storytelling in our own unique ways. We also work on more formal things. One of the writing instructors and I have collaborated and are halfway through a full-length movie script.
Wow.
So lots of interesting things going on here.
Now tell me about the staff that you've hired to help you here.
They are as unique as our activities. And yet, we all share a lot in common. We all want to make ourselves better. We all want to grow. And so a lot of the staff takes classes from the other staff in our off time. And that's one of the things we encourage here is when you're off, don't just go sit on the couch. I mean, obviously, we get exhausted doing what we do. But what else can we do? How can we blend and teach and work together and do all of these activities together and to grow? And that's one of the big attractors for a lot of the staff here is, well, I want to teach this, but I want to do this.
So how do they hear about you? You don't have ads on Craigslist.
I don't have ads on Craigslist. A lot of the staff I have made connections with as a teacher. So there are quite a few of the staff who are former students of mine. They've graduated.
Nice.
And that's part of why I built this place is so many of these kids that I see have so many talents, so much ability, but it is so hard to get a start in doing what you want to do. And here they have a place, and I tell them, I'm not going to do it for you. I am only providing you an opportunity. If you want to build a program, if you want to do stuff, I am providing you a space to help you do that. And there have been a few who have really embraced that and started working to make that happen.
For example,
our dance instructor, his name is Dane. He's also a professional magician, and he's a professional dancer. He was on America's Got Talent a few years ago. He used to be a student at the school. And he found out about this place, and he wanted to come in and said, hey, I love what you're doing. I want to train here. By the way, I have these talents. Do you have any use for them, or would it be okay for me to teach them here? I told him what I tell anyone who asks that question, which is, I will provide you an opportunity. You provide the people. You know, you make it happen. You bring the people here. You make a use for yourself, and you've got a space.
Anything that surprised you? Results from your programs?
Almost everybody who has come here has had an incredibly good time. They are exhausted, they are sore, and they are smiling, and they love it. That amount of customer satisfaction or member satisfaction really pleases me. That makes me feel so good, like, oh, we're doing something right. I mean, I have parents that come and do tumbling with their kids. And that, like, where else do you do that? Most of the time, parents, they put their kid in the class and they sit on the side or leave them, and they're sitting on the side playing with their phones or doing whatever. This is a chance where parents are shooting their bows and arrows right alongside their kids. You know, they're stabbing their kids with swords, which is incredibly therapeutic.
I was going to say.
So that kind of stuff is amazing for me. I love when families come in and do that. Some of the surprises, it is incredibly hard running a business and doing a business. And that was a bit of a surprise for me, how incredibly hard it was.
This is an option that parents really, I think, would appreciate on so many levels if they had it in their community. How did you even begin?
As I said, I love doing everything. But one of the big obstacles, I didn't grow up rich. I didn't grow up with a lot of money. I had very supportive parents, but there wasn't a lot of opportunity. And we offer so many unique things here. Where else do you find this kind of stuff?
In one place.
In one place. So what I did was I said basically, I want to create a place where families can come or individuals can come and they can do all kinds of activities for one low cost under one roof where they don't have to drive all over town to find things if they can even find them at all. And then they're paying a huge ton of money for each individual activity. The kid's only able to go for an hour or two a week and then it's done. This is a place where kids and families can come, and we have kids that spend hours here every day. They're here from 4 o'clock until 9 o'clock, almost every single day. And they're doing, in a single day, they're doing archery, and they're doing fencing, and they're doing parkour, and they're doing tumbling, and they're just working their tails off. And it becomes very much a family-type environment here, where even if you're not coming with your family, we all just kind of bond and get together, and it really is. It sounds kind of hippie-ish, but, you know, it really is one of those neat community-type places. It is truly a community center.
And there has been a disconnect among families in the last couple of decades, sadly. And I think that this is something easy that parents can do with their kids. They don't have to be on the soccer field with them or
sure.
playing baseball with them. And that's not to say that those aren't lovely activities, because they are. Obviously, they're learning about teams.
Absolutely.
And they're outside.
Mm-hmm.
but that's not always a viable option.
It's true. It's indoors, so it is more temperature controlled. So you can do it year-round. For example, I had a father yesterday who brought his daughter. He had signed her up for one class a week just because he knew she wanted to do that. And he came and, you know, he said, all right, here's my daughter. Go ahead, do the tumbling class. And I said, well, what about you? Well, I didn't sign up for me. I know, but the first class is free, so go ahead and take off your shoes and join her on the floor because you're going to be doing this. And he was, I can do this. And it's very much that we, you know, we're almost thrusting our bows and swords into people's hands and saying, please, please do this.
It's reminding adults that they can have fun too, that they can play as well.
They need to. I mean, how many times do you see, and I see this in cars when people are driving, I see it even when people are sitting at restaurants, everyone is sitting around the table and they all have their own phone out or their own personal device, they have their earbuds in, and they are in their own little worlds, and there isn't any of that connection that you were talking about. There isn't any of that. And this is a place for people to connect. The dad was, he was exhausted, you know, as his daughter was running circles around him, but big smile on his face. There was some of that challenge. Oh, I didn't think you could do that. You know, a little bit of that trash talking, that, you know, that really fun family bonding stuff that was really, really cool. And that kind of stuff is honestly what gets me. It's what motivates me when I'm a teacher, you know, is watching that spark in the kids' eyes. And it's what motivates me here, is watching those smiles, those sparks that I can do this stuff. And you watch the adults do things that they used to do as kids or that they can never do. It's beyond amazing.
That, for me, is the biggest attraction. Because I meet so many adults that forgot basic, simple joys. Just
absolutely.
On a swing.
Yes.
You get them on a swing, and it just slowly, you can see the stress just coming off. That's all they're doing.
Exactly.
One of my favorite quotes is Neil Gaiman, mm-hmm. who said that adults are really just kids in drag.
I love it. It's so true. I've had parents that they almost look guilty, like they're trying to sneak a little spin on the bars or whatever as they walk back. You know, they kind of look back. And that's why I always, as part of our waiver, I kind of trick parents. I have them sign, you know, as they sign the waiver, they don't always realize that they're signing themselves on the waiver too.
So a little ninja background.
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. But what it does is it gives them the ability to come and play a little bit, to come and do stuff. And it's not for all parents, you know, they're not all going to do it. But we have some that step in there and start doing stuff. And one of the rules that we have here, and all the kids know the rule, and the parents learn that rule very quickly, is we don't use the word can't here. As in, oh, I can't climb that, I can't do that. Because it becomes such a part of parent talk, of adult talk, and kids start incorporating that. They start believing, oh, well, I can't do this, or I can't do that. It's, I don't know how to do it yet. And that is what we correct them for, is I don't know how to do that yet. And then we start teaching them, here are the steps to get there. You may not ever get all the way. You may not ever be super flipper, but that's only because you're stopping yourself. It's not because we're stopping you. We're providing you with every opportunity and all the progressive steps so that you can do whatever it is that you're looking to do.
Now, you have these really fun summer programs.
Yes.
A blast. Very creative. I love the creativity behind them. What's been your biggest feedback from this?
Every kid except for, I think, one has had an absolute blast here. And that one was coming just off of another camp that was their dream camp. And so they were coming into something like this, and there were some issues. But every kid has gone home sore and tired and come back the next day, oh, my muscles, but I'm ready to do some more. And that's really the biggest thing. And I have parents coming in. You actually made my kid tired. Thank you so much. They went to sleep at 8 o'clock and it was wonderful. So both parents and kids are loving that. But our camps are like spy ninja camps, Renaissance pirate camps, superhero camps, zombie wilderness survival camps, mockingjay camps, all kinds of themed camps that give kids, in a single day, a kid is doing like an hour of archery, sword fighting, parkour, martial arts, a laser maze that they had to try and work their way through for the spy ninja camp, you know, without touching the lasers. And for some of the older kids, they also get to do knife throwing. You know, it's like, where do you get to do this stuff? And the answer is here at Infinite Potential. That's why it's called Infinite Potential. Anything is possible.
Unfortunately, not all my listeners have the option of attending your academy. So if someone doesn't have something similar but like to have one, and maybe they are like you, go-getters, make things happen, what suggestions would you give them to begin? What are the first steps to take?
There are two options. The one that I chose was, I became an instructor of almost all the things that we offer here. So, for example, I'm a certified archery instructor. I'm a certified gymnastics coach. I'm a certified personal fitness trainer. I've got all of these certifications. I've done all of this training for myself so that whatever class was offered, I could cover. I can teach it and I can cover it. The other option is get a lot of staff that you can pay for and count on to be there on time when they're supposed to be there so that you don't have to cover all the classes. But honestly, that's really the big thing is, as the owner of this kind of a facility, what I found is my ability to flow into any role in this facility, where I'm an instructor, I'm also a student, I'm the owner, so I'm handling the administration, where I can flow in, around, in between, just like parkour, just like anything else, I can flow in, around, in between any of these programs, has honestly been probably one of the greatest assets.
Now, how did you go about finding the location?
That was a bit more on the nightmarish side. Finding a space big enough isn't such a big deal. Finding a space big enough that meets zoning requirements and that deals with is fighting the city to try and get space approvals and zoning approvals and dealing with tenant improvements. It is absolutely far less than business friendly. It has really been a challenge.
Well, unfortunately, you're not the Lone Ranger. You hear of cities, including Sacramento County and all the cities they're in and the burbs, they're constantly trying to recruit, encourage new businesses to come into the area. And when they do, they are halted at each attempt because they need a new permit or this is delayed and it's counterproductive.
Here's my feeling on that, and it is nothing more than a feeling based on my own experiences. That they say they want businesses, but what they want is corporations that have lots of money to come in and bring lots of money specifically in. They talk about small business because that's what gets them elected, but they don't want small business unless small business has lots of money, is really what I have found, because the fees, everything's are so counter small business. By all means, take whatever space you need. You can pay the $100,000 rezoning law, whatever. That has been my experience. And that is nothing more than feeling.
It's more than feeling. I know so many business owners that have gone through this. It's crazy.
It is.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So they talk out of one side of their mouth and deal out of the other.
Their one hand is going, come here, and the other is pushing you away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so locations would be, I think, a challenge for many areas.
Sure.
Zoning issues aside, like you said, space.
Yes.
Because sometimes space can be an issue, and sometimes maybe they want to have something outside. So what park or field can you use? Then
right.
again, you're dealing with zoning issues and residential and city. And
absolutely. And the thing is, with so much of this activity, it is so easy to make super safe. But it is, again, it is such a restrictive environment, or you're paying so much in zoning laws and zoning this and zoning that, that you don't have the money to even put into and make your business happen. And so what happens is you wind up stuck in a place, and this is a beautiful facility, but it's a really expensive one. And so it has been one of the greatest obstacles I've had here, is just trying to make rent payments, you know, as we start to make the business grow.
Now, you offer private events, though, I'm
yes.
guessing.
Yes, we do birthday parties. We've had the Girl Scouts come out quite a bit, and the Boy Scouts start to come out. And we've had going away party. We've done some team building activity, you know, some team building event kinds of things here.
For corporations, for businesses?
Small business, yeah, where they wanted a place where they could come in, hold a little team building thing. And it's, again, it's so neat to watch adults. They have their ties on and they have to take their tie off and do some archery. All of a sudden they go from this, oh, it's a corporate event, to, hey, I'm doing archery. That's awesome.
It's hooky.
Exactly.
I guess that is how it feels. It feels like hooky, isn't it? When you're an adult.
Yeah, it is.
Because you're not using your time on a practical basis.
That's what people think, and that's what we've been conditioned to think, is if we're not making money, we're not being productive. And it's so counter that, I think, because those endorphins that you get when you're doing this fun stuff, that smile that you have, I think that counts for an awful lot. And I think it's something that we are very sorely lacking. I see a lot of people, and if you watch them closely, very few of them are actually happy. When they turn to their friend, the smile appears and they appear happy, and then as soon as they turn away, it goes back to that caught up in their own world, their own life face.
The eyes aren't matching the smile.
They don't.
It's very sad.
They need to refind that fun.
Well, that's the challenge, as we were discussing earlier, is how to find the fun, because adults, for fun, it's like, well, let's go out and drink, let's go to the game. You know, maybe you play baseball, maybe during the summer. There are certain
sure.
city leagues that you can
absolutely.
Participate in. Personally, I love to hike. I enjoy that, but it's not goofy fun. So to find goofy fun when you're an adult that seem to be sanctioned
right.
by society of sorts, that's why I really love what you're doing. That it's not just the kids, but the adults get to be kids too. That it's okay. They've given been given permission. Mom and dad said
yes.
that it's okay if you do this.
Absolutely. And one of the activities we do with our sword fighter, we have some amazing sword fighting instructors. And one of the things that they do is they come out during, like later at night, after the sword instruction is done. We have a castle in our parkour area. And one of the things that they do is they do a storm the castle activity with their swords. They have their masks on and their swords, and it's like the full-on metal rapiers. And they are going out and doing a full-on storm the castle activity where they're using our parkour obstacles to help them do that. And it is full sword battle, and they are pouring sweat, and they are fighting, and they are yelling, and they are having just the time of their lives. And it's amazing because, you know, I've worked in gyms before. I've spent time training in gyms. And you see the people, and they're on the treadmill, either caught up in their own worlds with their music, or they're just, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, I've got to do this. And it's the hamster in the wheel kind of a deal.
It's a chore.
And here it's like, all right, I can forget about my life, I can come here, and they are getting a greater cardio workout than anything else, as well as building everything else, and the smile, and again, the camaraderie, the friendship.
And it clears your thought processes, so you can tackle whatever is going on in your life when you leave here with a clearer mind.
It definitely helps that. And it, like I said, it is very much about community and community interaction and community play and community support.
Do you have any battle cries that the kids or adults use in some of your activities?
Any battle cries? No, but maybe we should start instituting some of those. That would be great.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, when you're in a bar and someone says, skull. It's kind of a drinking battle cry.
I'm going to have to start thinking about some battle cries that we can start instituting.
Okay,
like that.
That's your homework assignment.
All right.
If you'd like to create something similar in your area, check out their website, infinitepotentialacademy.com. In my continuing highlighting of national parks, I'm heading over to the Arkansas Post, located at the confluence of the Arkansas and White Rivers. The Post to Arkansas was the first semi-permanent French colony in the Mississippi River Valley. Because of flooding, the post was relocated over the years, but it continued to serve as a strategic location for the clashing France, Spain, and England for dominance of the Mississippi River Valley. The only Revolutionary War action in Arkansas occurred here between Spanish soldiers and British partisans. It's also home to dozens of alligators. If you are fortunate enough to live in one of the few cities in this country participating in Art Everywhere next week, I'm so jealous. That's all. Do something different. Listen to your grandparents' music. Some of it is pretty cool.